I wanted to say that at the beginning because what we're going to do this morning in our message is going to take us a different direction. And I listened to the message that I preached a couple of weeks ago. I was unsatisfied. I suppose that's probably true about most messages I preach. When I hear them, I'm unsatisfied. I preached to you from the book of Isaiah chapter 49 about how God is willing to save. He can save anybody and is willing to. But the problem is our sins separate between us and Him. And He can't save us because we're not willing to face our sin. And in it, one of the problems that Israel was having is they were shedding innocent blood. And so we began to talk about abortion, and we looked at abortion statistics in Canada. And basically, the gist of the message, what I wanted to tell you, was that abortion happens because somebody has been lied to. We have believed a lie. If the truth were known and the truth were preached and the truth were received as it is in truth, we would not have this problem. So this morning, I, as your pastor, I feel that it's my obligation to give you the truth, to take you into the Word of God and show you what the Word of God says. Not just to tell you that it says it, but to show you, and I hope you will listen. I hope that God will help us. But in Psalm 139, which we're not going to expound, but we're going to start here, we've referred to this many times, but let's begin here in verse number 13. The psalmist says to God, "For thou hast possessed my reins." The literal idea is you're in charge of my life, of my progress, my going. "Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." So whatever we want to understand by the word covered, God was aware of what was going on in the womb of the psalmist's mother. He was there. He was covering. He was overshadowing. Are you with me? Isn't that what it says? Am I reading it right? "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." My substance, whatever makes up who I am and what I am, was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That's kind of poetic language for the womb of the mother and what's happening where no one else can see. Now today, through the miracle of technology, we have ultrasounds and so forth, and we can watch a lot of what's going on, and we've been able to map the progress of the growth of a human being in the womb of a mother. But back then, the psalmist said, "I know that when I couldn't see it and no one else could see it, you were there. You knew what was going on." Verse 16, "Thine eyes did yet see my substance." So in verse 15, he said, it wasn't hid from you. Your eyes saw it in verse 16, yet being imperfect, before it was complete, before it was recognizable as a completed process, you saw it. "And in thy book, all my members were written," my fingers, my toes, my ears, my eyes, and all of the parts of my body. "My members were all written in your book, which in continuance, according to the plan, in progression, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." It was already written down. It was already planned. It was already designed. This is marvelous. He said, "And how precious," verse 17, "also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them." Marvelous passage of scripture. But you have to at the very least, you have to understand that the psalmist said God was very aware and very involved in what was going on when I was being made. Am I right? So keep that in mind as we start. Now go with me to Psalm 127 and verse 3. Psalm 127 and verse number 3. This psalm is about the house, the home. And in the midst of this short psalm, we have this statement, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." Would you focus for a moment on the word heritage? What is a heritage? According to the definition, A heritage is something you take possession of, the occupation of anything. Literally speaking, and in our understanding, an heritage is an inheritance. Matter of fact, whenever this Hebrew word is found in Scripture, 192 times it is translated inheritance. So let's go back for a moment, look at it again. Children are an inheritance from the Lord. How does one receive an inheritance? Does he earn it? Or is it given to him? The answer is given. An inheritance is given. It's a gift. So children are a gift from the Lord. They're an inheritance. They're a heritage that God gives. They're the lot assigned to you. Something given. Notice if you're the rest of the verse, the fruit of the womb is what, in other words, what the womb produces or brings forth is his reward. It's his gift to you, and it's his reward. When Jacob had been absent from his brother Esau for a long time because his brother hated him, but now they're about to meet face to face, and they actually do come together face to face in Genesis 33. Esau lifts up his eyes, and he sees all of these children. And he says to his brother, "Who are these?" And you know what Jacob answered? "These are the children which God hath given me." You want to know what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that children are a gift from God. A young couple says, "We made a baby together." No, you did not make a baby. God made a baby, and you were the human instrumentality through which God made the baby. But God made the baby. I'm going to show you that from Scripture. But they're a gift from God. That's the clear teaching of this verse. And can I just point, you don't turn there, but Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, "The blessing of the Lord..." A gift is a blessing, isn't it? Usually. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and no sorrow shall be added to it. I wonder if anybody ever sits down with a young lady who has found out she's with child and said to her, have you ever considered this? You're looking at that as an unplanned or unwanted burden, and you're feeling badly about it. Have you ever stopped to think about this? That the Bible says children are a gift from God. So you have in your womb a child, that means God gave you a gift. And the Bible says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Have you ever considered that maybe God is giving you something that will enrich your life like you can't imagine? And he'll add no sorrow with it. It's a gift of God. Just something to think about. Now go with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 21. Genesis 21. I was going to print these references out on a piece of paper and put them as an insert in your bulletin so you'd have them to use for others just in case you don't have a pen this morning. And perhaps if I can get that accomplished this week, we'll try to have it for you next Sunday. I won't be here. We'll try to have it for you so you have a ready reference of these verses so you can help somebody to see what the truth is according to the Bible. I don't believe there's truth to be found anywhere but the Bible. Anything that claims to be truth needs to measure with the Scriptures. But you can show them what the truth is. So Genesis 21 and verse 1. Watch now the language. "And the Lord visited Sarah." How many have ever visited somebody? Did you ever visit somebody? Did you ever go to attend them? You came to be a blessing to them. You came to visit them. You came to see them. "The Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he spoke." So we have two things. God visited and he did to Sarah something. He visited her. And he did something to her. Next verse. "And Sarah conceived." Wait a minute. It doesn't say "and," does it? It says "for Sarah conceived." In other words, we have evidence that God visited her and did something to her because she is now with child. Please don't miss that. The Scripture is saying that Sarah conceived. It's a direct result of God visiting her and doing what he said. In case you don't know what he said, he had promised her and her husband that she would have a child, that she would have a son. They've been waiting for a long time for this promise. But God keeps his promises. And so the Lord visits her and does to her. That means, in other words, something to do with conception had to do with God. He did to her. For she conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. Can I suggest to you that this word conceived is a word that we understand. The word conception comes from this word conceived. Conception takes place the moment that fertilization takes place. So the female has an egg, and when the male seed enters the egg in the womb of the mother, at the moment the male seed enters the egg, that's what we call fertilization, and that's what we call conception. God visited her and did to her as he said, for she conceived. Listen to this. 2016, April 2016, scientists have discovered that a breathtaking flash of light occurs at the moment of conception. For the first time, researchers from the Northwestern University have now demonstrated that when a human seed first meets an egg, a bright zinc spark can be seen. Not only a remarkable phenomenon, but also one that might be a game changer for in vitro fertilization. You know why? Because they never knew when they actually had been fertilized, but now they have something that pinpoints the moment of conception or the moment of fertilization, this bright flash of light. It was remarkable, said the study's co-author, Teresa Woodruff. We discovered the spark just 5 years ago in the mouse, and to see the zinc radiate out in a burst from each human egg was breathtaking. All of biology starts at fertilization, yet we know next to nothing about the events that occur in the human. Notice she said all biology starts at the time of fertilization. Hold on to your hats. Go with me to the book of John. She said, we know practically nothing. Well, you know why you know nothing, Teresa? Pardon me for being so plain. You know why? Because you won't read and believe the Bible. You read and believe a medical journal written by a man who didn't have life and all of a sudden found himself alive. He didn't make his own life. He was given life. And now he's going to tell you how life works and doesn't work. Why don't you instead believe the God who gave life? Because he told you, John chapter 1. If you've never seen this before, I hope you're listening. John chapter 1, verse number 9. Speaking of Jesus, that was the true light, capital L. That was the true light. Watch now. Which lighteth every man, the word is human being, not male, every man, all of mankind, that means there's nobody excepted, that was the light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. What they're saying now is that they know when fertilization has happened, when conception has taken place, when a human being has come into the world, because they see a flash of light. Go backwards in John to John chapter 1 and verse 3. All things were made by him. By who? The Word. And the Word was God. But we find out later the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's Jesus Christ. He's the creator. He made everything. And one of the things the Bible says was made was man. And without him was not anything made that was made. Watch this. In him was life. Where do you find life? in God alone. And the life was the light of men. The life of God was the light of men. The light lights every man that comes into the world. Every man is the creative act of Almighty God. And this scientific discovery doesn't surprise the Bible believer, because the Bible said that the light lights every man that comes into the world. Not just a believer, every man that comes into the world is made of God and made in the image of God. And by the way, back in Genesis chapter 2 in the creation account, Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God made the first man and every man since. He breathes into their nostrils the breath of life. This life, John says, which is the word by which everything was created, is the light of men. Well, I hope you see that. Jot down Proverbs 20 and verse 27. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. What do you do with a candle? You light it with a flame. Well, the spirit of man's called a candle. The candle of what? The candle of the Lord. So the place where the Lord shines, the person where the Lord, who is light and life, your spirit and mine is a result, the direct result of the creative act of God. If I don't move on, I'll park here for a long time and we'll be in trouble. Genesis chapter 21 again. So God visited, did unto her as he said, and she conceived. Notice the next statement. She bare Abraham a son in his old age, watch, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. In other words, God appointed the time, and now it's time, and so now it happens. Who's in control of what happens in the womb? Whether or not there is fertilization, whether or not there is conception, Almighty God is in control. You say, Pastor, I'm still not persuaded. Well, let's go on. Go to the book of Ruth. So if you have the first five books of the Bible, and then Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. So the eighth book of the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, and chapter number 4, Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And they made a baby. No, that's not what it says. It says he went in unto her. They were enjoying that intimacy that a man and woman are meant to enjoy for pleasure, but also for procreation. So he went in unto her. The Lord gave her conception. Pastor, that's just one verse of Scripture. How many times does God have to speak to you before you believe that he's telling you the truth? More than once? Who gave her conception? God did. The Lord gave her conception. In other words, can I be so bold as to say what the Bible's telling us in these passages is that conception is the act of God. It's an act of God. Psalm 113 and verse 9. I'm going to have to turn to it because I didn't jot down the words here. Psalm 113 and verse 9. He maketh, speaking of God, he maketh the barren woman to keep house. He does what? He maketh her. And to be a joyful mother of children. Let's forget the keep house thing for a minute, and let's just read it without that. He maketh the barren woman to be a joyful mother of children. Who does? God does. If the barren woman is going to become a joyful mother of children, who's going to do it? God. Did you read your Bible? Have you not ever read the statement that God fast closed up their wombs? Or that God hearkened and opened the womb? Who opens and closes the womb? Who says you can't have children? Or because you've prayed and asked, I'm honoring your request, and I will open your womb and you'll have children. Who does that? God does. If we made babies, then why can't we make them anytime we want to? Doesn't work that way. And there are those who have tried for a long time to have a child. But it's not up to you. It's up to God. I wish I had the time to take you to all those places. God saw that Leah was hated, so he opened her womb and she bore lots of children. And then when Rachel, who was favored because of her good looks, was found to be barren and she prayed and asked God, then the Bible said he hearkened to her too and opened her womb. So he opened Leah's womb, he opened Rachel's womb. And there was a whole nation of people under a king by the name of Abimelech that because Abraham had lied and they were in danger, the king was in danger of committing adultery with Abraham's wife because he'd been deceived. The Bible said God shut up the wombs of everyone in his kingdom. Not a one of them could have children until this thing got made right. Once it got made right and Sarah was returned to her husband Abraham, God opened their wombs again. That's in your Bible, folks. I'm not making it up. I'm trying to help you understand the truth. And the reason you need to understand is because there are a lot of people out there that are believing a lie. They're told that conception is not the moment when life begins. They're told that it begins when they're born, when they exit the womb. No, that's not what the scripture teaches. In Psalm 139, Psalm 127, Genesis chapter 25, Ruth chapter 4 and verse 13, conception is the act of God. We're not done. Go to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Genesis chapter 25, verse number 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. Why was he praying? Why was he pleading with the Lord? Because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. It's like magic. It's a coincidence. No. No, it's God's answer to prayer. God did it. And what's going on in the womb? We don't know when, at what point in her pregnancy this was, but notice the next verse. And the children, not the tissues or the fetuses, and the children struggled together within her. We saw last 2 weeks ago when I preached to you, we went to the account in Luke's gospel when Mary and Elizabeth met, both of them having a child in their womb. And as soon as Elizabeth heard the voice of Mary, the mother of Jesus, Elizabeth said, "The babe leaped in my womb when he heard your voice." We already saw the activity, but now she says, she makes this a matter of prayer. She didn't know what's going on. So she goes to God and says, "God, what does this mean? The kids, the children, that's what's in my womb. They're fighting with each other. What's this? What's going on?" And the Lord explained it to her. And he said, "There are two nations in your womb. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger." Can I suggest to you that the womb is God's workshop? The womb is the potter's wheel for humanity. It's in the womb. In the secret place, out of the view of others, God is working to create what will one day be seen by others as a finished product. Do I have the audacity to walk into the workshop of the Creator of the universe in whose hand are all things and who has all power, and say, what in the world do you think you're doing? I don't want this going on. I'm shutting down your workshop today. I am taking the work off the wheel and destroying it, because I don't like it. I'm not making this up, folks. That's what the Bible teaches. Look with me. Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10. And by the way, Job is believed by almost every single Bible scholar to be one of the earliest books in the Bible. Job to be one of the earliest men in the Bible. Certainly before Moses, back in the days of Abraham at least. And Job is going through serious trials, serious difficulties at the hand of Satan, only though by God's allowance. And as Job tries to understand and come to grips with all the heartache and sorrow and struggle in his life, he says, we need to read from verse 1 just to get the context. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. In other words, God, explain what's going on. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress and shouldest despise? Watch the work of thine hands. He's talking about himself. And shine upon the counsel of the wicked? God, hast thou eyes of flesh? Seest thou as a man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days? That thou inquirest after my iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I'm not wicked, and there's none that can deliver out of thine hand. Watch, thine hands, Job speaking to God, thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about. Yet thou dost destroy me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay. And wilt thou bring me into dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Watch, thou hast clothed me. Wait a minute. If you clothe something, isn't something already in existence? Yes or no? Yes or no? Certainly. If you got clothed this morning, it's because you were there, right? Thou hast clothed me with what? Skin and flesh. So the skin and flesh that you see is God's clothing on me. The skin and flesh is not me, it's God's clothing on me. And has fenced me, you've hemmed me in with bones and sinews, with muscles, with tissues and bones. And in the middle of all that somewhere is me. Thou hast granted me life. It's a gift of God. It is spiritually and it is physically. God gives life. Thou hast granted me life and favor. By the way, when it says thou hast granted me life, it's the exact same word as used in Genesis 2, verse 7, when it says God breathed into man his nostrils, the breath of life, same word, and man became a living soul. Same word, living soul. Thou hast granted me life. That's what God did in Adam after he fashioned him of the dust of the earth. And that's what God does in the womb as he makes and creates, according to Psalm 139. And here it's going on. God gave us life. And thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. Go to chapter 12. Job chapter 12 and verse 7. But ask now the beasts, they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not? In other words, who in the world doesn't understand that in all these, that is in the beasts and the fowls and the fish and the earth, all of these, the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? You don't have breath unless it came from God, because his breath is the breath of mankind, and he breathes into man the breath of life. And at the moment of conception, that light, that life takes the DNA of the mother and the DNA of the father and weaves them together. That DNA is woven like this in a strand, a long strand, and immediately you have everything present for the completion of a fully developed adult human being. It's just not in evidence yet, but it's there. Look at Job 31 and verse 15. Job 31 and verse 15. You know what I'm trying to tell you? There are a lot of people out there that we could scorn and be unkind to because they have been involved in the abortion industry. But the truth is they've been lied to. Nobody has taught them the truth. It's my fault. It's the other pastor's fault. It's the believer's fault who have not gone into our communities and sat on our school boards and gone on our community councils and said to them, thus saith the Lord. Here's what the Bible teaches. The Bible, which is a reliable source of truth because it's existed as long as mankind and the proofs are abundantly evident that it's a supernatural book, says that life begins at conception. It's in the womb. It's in the hand of God. It's the very act of God. They don't know that because nobody's told them. Instead, the liar, who is a murderer as well, has woven an intricate web of deceit and deception to convince them otherwise. And they're believing a lie. But the truth is there if we want it. Job chapter 31 and verse 15. Did not he that made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? Did not the same one fashion us, you and me, whoever else the other person is, and myself? Did not one, the same one, fashion us in the womb? Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to try to wrap it up really quickly here. Psalm 22, verses 9 and 10. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. So even while I was in the womb, I was cast upon thee. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Not from the time I left her belly, but from my mother's belly. You were my God. I was cast upon you. I was dependent upon you. You were my life. You were everything to me. Psalm 104. And there are many, many other scriptures. I'm just giving you a few this morning. Psalm 104. Psalm 104 and verse 1. Psalm 104, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Skip down to verse 27. Though these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face and they are troubled. Watch, thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Now watch this. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. When are we created? When God sends forth his spirit. When God the Son speaks. And the Spirit of God, accompanying the Word of God, blesses that Word in the womb of the mother. Conception takes place. Again, thou sendest forth thy Spirit. They are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse number 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Before I formed you, before I shaped you, before I put it all together, I knew you. And before thou, in other words, before I clothed you, as we saw a moment ago, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, before you were ever seen by human eyes, I set you apart, I sanctified you, and ordained you to be a prophet to the nations. I knew you. And I set you apart and ordained you while you were in the womb. Zechariah 12 and verse 1. Second to last book of the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 1. the burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, watch, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Who forms the spirit of a man inside his body? God Almighty. The Spirit of God gives him breath, gives him life. God forms the spirit. Same word as Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 when it says, God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Same word. He forms the spirit of man. So he forms the body, he forms the spirit. Where does life come from? God. When? In the womb. I won't go there, but Matthew chapter 1, God's angel says to Joseph, who's afraid to take Mary to his wife because Mary's pregnant and they've never had intimate relationships. And God says, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived, so a conception has taken place, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. My friend, the Bible teaches that conception is the beginning of life and is an act of Almighty God. And the reason abortion today is on the rise and ascendancy is because man has been told there is no God. And they're not afraid to go into God's workshop and destroy the creative work of Almighty God. God said, I want life right here. And he gives it life. And he has a design and a plan for that life. And somebody comes boldly in and said, I don't believe in God. I don't want anything to do with God. My body is my own. Oh, yeah? Where were you when it was created? My body's my own. I have a right to do what I please. And they allow someone to go into the workshop of God and not just trash it by overthrowing the tables and destroying the tools, but killing life that he has ordained and has begun within the womb. That's what the Bible teaches. Why are we apologizing for it? Why are we embarrassed by the truth? My time is gone. I'm coming back to this subject tonight because I want to tell you what to do now. If you've ever been involved in it, what does the Bible say you should do now? What's the answer? What about the child whose life was taken? What about them? Where are they at now? What's God going to do with me? What's God going to do with them? The Bible has answers, and you want to hear them. God's grace is sufficient. What do we do as Christians in this environment where we're reading this stuff all the time, like in Ireland, and we're continually bombarded with this pro-choice and pro-abortion type argument? What do we do? How do we respond to it? The Bible tells us exactly how to respond to it. But I don't have time this morning to go into all that. But I hope you've clearly seen the truth. Oh, man, if you'll allow me, I got to go one more place. I'm sorry. I don't think I preached as long this time as I did last time, but it's earlier anyway. Job, please forgive me. Let me go one more place with you. Job chapter 3. Add this to your scriptures. Job chapter 3. I don't know how I missed this a moment ago. Job chapter 3. Job is cursing the day he was born because of his trouble. The day in which it's said in verse number 3, he said, I cursed this day. Verse 3, let the day perish when I was born, and the night in which it was said there's a man-child conceived. So there's conception first, later there's a birth. He said, the day in which I was born, let that day perish. Erase it from history. And the night in which I was conceived, let that be gone too. Watch now. Verse number 11. Why died I not from the womb? Job's saying, man, why didn't God just allow me to die in the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? So there's a difference there. When you came out of the belly, that's birth. Why didn't I just die at birth? But before that, he said, why didn't I just die from the womb? Why did the knees prevent me, or why the breast that I should suck? For now should I have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept, then had I been at rest. Notice the words died, dead, gave up the ghost. Look at verse 16. Or as a hidden untimely birth, I had not been as infants which never saw light. They were never born, but they were infants. And he's saying, why did God not let that happen to me? He says the same thing in chapter 10. So he talks about the possibility of giving up the ghost or dying while you're in the womb. How can that be if you're not a living being? The Bible is saying that that what's in the womb is living and can die or give up the ghost. And the ghost is the spirit, which is from God. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. God lights that man, brings that life into existence. I hope you see it. That's the truth about conception. God creates every life, not me and not you. And that life is made in the image of God. That's something else we'll consider tonight. Far too much for this morning. I would rather do it every Sunday morning because that's when the majority of you are here. A lot of you aren't here on Sunday night, so I hesitate, but I'm going to go ahead because I'm not going to be here next Sunday morning. So tonight I'll continue this message. Let's pray.